It's really a special place.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Welcome back, Astrid. Art Roots St. Petersburg was a glorious success, and we, dear listeners, get to hear about this fabulous destination. I'm producer Catherine. If you like to hear about international cities and what St. Petersburg has to offer a traveler like you, stay tuned for Astrid's St. Petersburg wrap-up. Astrid, this was not your first visit to St. Petersburg. Tell us all about this return visit.
No, this was actually my fourth time going to St. Petersburg. Wow. Now, you know, you've got to really love the Russian culture to go back for the fourth time.
No kidding.
And I must say, every time I go, I love it more and more. This is just such a beautiful city. It has, well, first and foremost, the architecture there is just gorgeous. Really like a North European city, a lot of neoclassical architecture and styles, all different types of European styles with a Russian twist. And it's just a beautiful city, and they've maintained a lot of the quality or the architectural integrity of the structures. So it's really a special place. Besides the gorgeous architecture and the just spectacular interior designs of many of the buildings, it's got a fabulous visual and performing arts culture. It's extraordinary the level of which the Russian artists do their art. It's wonderful. I mean, it's so thrilling to go there, to go to the theater or to go to the symphony or go to the museum. So I love it because of that. It's got some wonderful food. You know, lots of people think Russian food is just sounds not too good.
Yeah.
Well, in St. Petersburg, they have really nice fine dining restaurants and ethnic restaurants. And I must honestly say, one meal in the four times that I've been that I didn't like. Good. So some very good food there. Great hotels. I mean, there are not a whole lot of five-star hotels in St. Petersburg, but the ones that are there are beautiful, great service, and very affordable. I mean, compared to Paris and London and Rome, I mean, they're probably half the cost for as high a quality or maybe even higher in some instances, because the Russians, the Russians who have the money to spend really like great service and beautiful things, and they like things to be just so. You get some really nice places to stay, as well as I have found that it's, in my experience, St. Petersburg is very safe. I've never felt uncomfortable in terms of my personal safety there, which might not be so in all of Russia. In Moscow was a little bit different. I had personal guide with me the whole time I was in Moscow. And it has a different feel than St. Petersburg. But St. Petersburg, I've always felt very safe there. So that's another wonderful thing about the city. So just bottom line, I don't think you can get a higher quality arts and classical culture travel experience anywhere in the world that's better than St. Petersburg, truly. First and foremost, the American dollar is still so strong against the Russian ruble. The things that you're able to do are so affordable that makes it even more pleasurable, to tell you the truth. The five-star hotels that I told you about, they can range from anywhere from $125 a night to somewhere around 450, and that depends on the low season versus the high season. Like, I just went there in the high season, the room was $385 a night. The same room that I went in the low season in the wintertime was $125. And this is a Belmond Grand, the hotel was called the Belmond Grand Europe. The bottom line is, this is a really, really nice hotel. In Paris, it would be $800. Wow. Easy. Wow. So it's very affordable in terms of the hotels, the restaurants, your fine dining. Runs you anywhere from $35 to $60 per meal, and that's with several glasses of wine. And I mean, these restaurants are very chichi. They're not just nice restaurants. They're like really nice restaurants. So the food is very nice, and it's very affordable. The ticket entrances to the museums, the theaters, etc., it can range anywhere from $50 to $20. And, I mean, box seats for $20. I mean, it's really amazing how far your dollar will go in Russia. So, that makes it wonderful. So, you get a whole lot of class at a very affordable price when you go to St. Petersburg. So that's just kind of a little bit of why it's such a nice place to go to. But I'm going to get into the specifics of what really makes this a very classy, special place. This last trip was an 8-day trip that was part of what was what's called the Art Routes program. And this program, the Arts Council of Baton Rouge has put together, that they are focusing on trips that have a culture or an arts focus rather than a sightseeing focus. And the purpose for this is basically to increase cultural literacy in the Baton Rouge region. A lot of the arts all over the United States, and even in the West, the classical arts are not as popular as they used to be. Sports has taken over, pop culture, etc. And so a lot of these arts organizations are struggling to keep their membership alive, their donor population engaged. So the Arts Council of my city has created this particular program, and they asked me. And so I was thrilled, because my whole travel experience, I have always focused on art-related activities. I don't like to just sightsee for sightseeing, etc. I'm a former music major, and I just love the arts. I have always, loved it, whether it's the visual arts or the performing arts. I've really been to so many museums and so many exhibitions and so many theater performances and symphonies, etc., and I love it all. I mean, it's very stimulating to me. So, and I've been involved on almost every arts related organizations board in Baton Rouge, so they know that I love to travel, I love the arts, and I have an arts background.
You're a known quantity.
They came to me, and I have such a wonderful contact in St. Petersburg, a lady by the name of Irena Orlova, and she is one of the owners of Open Russia Tours, and she helped me design our first tour for the Arts Routes program to St. Petersburg. And we titled this tour St. Petersburg, the Cultural Capital of Russia. And it was very well put together. The cost here again was very affordable for 8 days, 5-star hotel, best restaurants, just jam-packed activity. It was $5,500 for a double, and then $5,650 for a single, which is very, very affordable, especially for the solo traveler, because typically the solo traveler would have to pay what the double, occupancy.
That dreaded single supplement that we've talked about before.
Yeah, and it could have been as much as, say, $7,000 versus, yes, very easily. So for a great trip, 8 days, 5-star in every way, great price. So that's basically what the first tour, how it was structured.
You alluded to this a little bit, but there was an artistic focus, and specifically a focus on ballet. Can you tell us a little bit more about the artistic part of the trip?
Okay. Well, I decided to focus on the ballet because, well, first and foremost, the Russians are the best ballerinas in the world. I'll never forget the first time I went to the Bolshoi Ballet when I went to Moscow. Really, that was the best performing arts performance of any type of performing arts, whether it was a symphony or chamber music or theater or whatever, that I had ever seen in my life. This was a perfect ballet production. It was of Esmeralda. I mean, I was mesmerized by the sets, by the quality of the music, the theater itself, the costumes, and then the dancers, and how extraordinary these ballet dancers were in terms of their, I guess you'd say, their interpretation of the music, the story that they were portraying, and just the unbelievable elegant movement of their body in the ballet positions, etc. I mean, it just all flowed together with such passion and elegance and beauty. I mean, when you went, I left, I said, oh, that's like heaven. I mean, it was so perfect. And that's very rare. I mean, that's one of the wonderful things about going to live performances. You get, you know, that rush, or it inspires you or it touches you. But when it's so good that you just think this is like heaven, and that's how good that first ballet performance was that I saw in Moscow at the Bolshoi. So I decided to focus on classical ballet and classical dance because I knew that this was an art form that the Russians were the best at. Secondly, Renee Chatelaine, who is the executive director of our Arts Council, was a former ballerina. So I knew that she would really like this focus. Because, you know, there are not a lot of things that really actually focus on ballet. And ballet is one of the struggling arts forms in the West to really be totally appreciated and supported in some of the big cities, of course, New York and San Francisco. You've got some pretty strong supporters of it, and it's still alive and well, and in Paris. Definitely in Russia, but it's becoming more and more less of a sought-after and followed art form, which I think is very sad because let me tell you something. After this particular trip and everything we did, we learned about ballet and we saw these, ballet. I mean, it is really, it's fabulous. I mean, it's something that is to be preserved and kept alive because it's something truly unique and it'd be sad to lose it. So I knew she would love focusing on ballet. Then it's a unique destination for a lot of people. A lot of people they're a little uncomfortable to go to Russia. You know, they hear about the political aspect. But
I was going to say, is Russia in the news?
but let's just take that away. You know, I'm talking about just maybe the people aren't that friendly, and you know, this system, and you know, will I really be safe, and that type of thing. And most of the people that go there usually only go there for like a day or two with a cruise. Or maybe they'll go on a river cruise and they'll stay 2 days, 3 days at the max in St. Petersburg. Well, let me tell you, that is awful. St. Petersburg, I've been there, like I said, 4 times now. There's so many things to do there. There's so much to see. To only go in there for a day or two, like to do Venice, same thing. I mean, you are really, you're just missing so much. And if that's the only way you can go, I'm not saying don't do that. But I knew this would be a way to do 8 days in depth and really get a good feel for the culture of Russia and for the or what's going on also culturally in St. Petersburg. So I thought that that would be very appealing to this type of trip, an art tour trip, to go here. The contacts that I have there, because I have been there so many times, and I was very lucky the first time to meet Irina Orlova with Open Russia Tours. She was my private guide. She is just such a wonderful, high-level professional. She's very personable. I mean, I've always had fabulous trips to St. Petersburg and Russia, and largely because of her high level of excellence. And she's just a great, she's just a very admirable woman. So I always like being able to associate with her or do something with her. So I knew she could create a great trip with my guidance of what I thought we should do and what I've seen and how I thought that the people from my area of the world, what they would really like.
It seems like she really got you and got what you're trying to accomplish with this trip.
Perfect. I mean, she did a fabulous job, but I knew also she could get us VIP access. She could, yeah, no, we didn't stand in any lines, and maybe one every now and then because it was a little rain in front of the Summer Palace. But the bottom line was we had VIP access. We, you know, we had Mercedes Benz cars pick us up and take us to the airport, you know, luxury van that took us around. We were a group of 10, and everything was just first class. Plus, the guide that she got for us that was with us the entire time. This lady was, she has a reputation of being one of the top three guides in St. Petersburg. I mean, she takes around royalty, people from Smithsonian and the Louvre, and as well as corporate CEOs. And I mean, she is, and she's done a lot of governmental interpreting. She was fabulous. That's all I can say. Yeah. Elena told me she's really good, but let me tell you, she was really part of making this trip really one of a kind. She was so professional and so personable and so intelligent. And she just got the rhythm and the mood of everybody and kind of knew really how to express what she was, the point she was trying to make for people to really not only absorb it, but believe it and understand it. She was just extraordinary. So I knew, though, that Irina would put together something very special for me and my group. So, you know, that was another reason why I picked the destination. But the bottom line was the whole trip turned out to be, and I really feel that everybody who went on it will just tell you that they were completely blown away. It was mesmerizing. Everything about this trip, except for maybe the very last day when it kind of rained on our boat ride down the Fontanka, it was perfect. I mean, it was without hitch, and it's like every destination or every stop we took, it was a complete interesting adventure that was made some very vivid memories. So I think that the concept was very good, focusing on ballet because it's so Russian and the Russians are the best. Now, the trip started with a wonderful lecture by a gentleman by the name of Alexei Leproc. I think that's how you, it's L-E-P-R-O-C. He is an expert in ballet. He's first and foremost a curator at the Hermitage Museum. I mean, the Russians are extremely well educated, the ones that are, and especially the ones that are work in the arts. I mean, they are something else. Well, he was one of these people, and what he did was he gave us a delightful, not a boring or a dry, but a delightful one-hour lecture with slideshow about the history of the Russian ballet, how it started actually as part of the circus at the theater, and then how it branched off into its own kind of storytelling, and what the steps, how the steps got involved, and the meaning of certain things, and then how they coupled it with music, and then it really took shape when they coupled it with wonderful music, like Tchaikovsky's music and Prokofiev and all of that. So, you know, he went through the history of Russian ballet. He went through how to watch a ballet, what to watch for, what the meaning of certain things are, what the, you know, divertissement means, and just, you know, the various breaks in the storyline or the music or what they're doing, like when the jesters come out, you know, it's kind of like a comic relief. But they're also doing some things that in the ballet that are meaningful. So we heard all of this, and then he talked about the ballerinas themselves and how they are, you know, followed like we follow our movie stars, and that, you know, why ballet is still such a vibrant cultural activity in Russia and why people love it still so much. He went into the difference between Russian ballet and French ballet and American ballet and how, you know, what's different about them in terms of training, et cetera. But he, you know, he was just such a nice, here again, personable person that everybody, it just set the whole tone for the trip. We knew what to look for. We got some background information. We had, you know, a couple of glasses of champagne. It was in a beautiful salon type of room in the hotel. And it just started out just great. So that was the first ballet-oriented activity. The next thing that we got to do, which is very rare that anybody from the public can go to the next stop. And this was the Vaganova Ballet Academy. Now, this is where all of the ballerinas in Russia are trained, or this is the most famous school. And Renee Chatelain, you know, our executive director, who was a former ballerina, when I told her that one of the stops was the Vaganova Ballet Academy, she said, that is the mecca of ballet. She couldn't believe it. We went there on the second day, and I must say, it was another just such a memorable experience because, well, first of all, the building itself where the academy is this gorgeous architectural historic building in the arts, basically, the arts area of St. Petersburg. And you go in, it's marble, it's gorgeous. Well, we had a tour of their ballet museum in the academy. And it was, here again, it was something very interesting. We got to see the old costumes, even the jewels some of the ballerinas were. We, you know, we saw some of the former ballerinas' gloves and all these toe shoes and ballet shoes. We learned some more about Pavlova, one of their famous former prima ballerinas, and of course Brezhnikov and Nureyev went to that school. I mean, and we got to see all these, you know, old artifacts of these dancers and costumes, and then certain memorabilia of their life in terms of their life as a dancer. Then the choreographers that had really changed ballet through the decades and learned about that. So it was really also another tidbit or a little side thing that we did before we actually went in and saw the dancers working out, and that whole how rigorous their training is and what they go through. But that was so nice because we got to see that, and that is so pristine. Well, here again, after we went there, we went through the school itself, and we got to watch different classrooms of dancers practicing and exercising, whether it was to music or not to music, different age groups, male and female. And they go over the same thing over, over, over. It, I mean, the teacher is going in there and adjusting this and adjusting that. And I mean, they practice every day. We learn that they are selected. I mean, to go to the Vaganova. I want to say Vaganova, but it's Vaganova Ballet Academy. I mean, if you're chosen to go here, it's like your ticket to something extraordinary. It's like being an Olympian. Mm. But what they do is they start them at about 8 years old, and there are 8 to 10 students that are chosen at that year, and they go all the way through the 12th grade. Now, they are housed in this beautiful building. They are schooled academically here, and they, you know, they are schooled in ballet, everything they need to know to be a professional dancer. And they start dancing in productions, you know, even when they first enter the school. I mean, they train these children and teenagers and then into adulthood to be the most professional and the most artistically adept ballerinas in the world. And you can see why. It is amazing what comes out of the Vaganova Ballet Academy. But we got to see that in them working out, and all of that. It gave you an extra dimension that you would have never experienced. And then when you went and watched the ballets, you could understand it more. You could see, you know, why they were doing their leg up in this position or all the way, you know, straight up, or just in these little things that you wouldn't normally have noticed. Now you had so much, it gave you more of a thrill even. So it was really something really, really unique. And I don't know how many people can really get in there. That was something that I think only somebody like Irena could make it happen. Because it's quite, well, it's very prestigious, first of all. And secondly, they're considered a national treasure. Mm. And they don't want, you know, just tourists going in there disrupting what they're doing. But that was really special. You know, we definitely went to two ballet performances. One was an contemporary interpretation of Romeo and Juliet, and the other one was a performance of The Jewels, which is with Stravinsky's music. And that's a very difficult ballet to do because you've got a lot of, the music is, the rhythm is so hard to dance to, so they have to just kind of feel their way through it. But it was in using classical ballet steps and movements to music that was really on the cutting edge of being actually contemporary classical music, or modern classical music. So it was beautiful, and all of the costumes were great, and the theater, etc. was really special, and we all got dressed up, and we sat in box seats, so it was nice. But then we also did, that was ballet related, we got to tour the Marinsky Theater itself. Now, this is, you know, the most famous theater in St. Petersburg. It has a long history of all types of artistic performances being done there, whether it's operas or symphonies or ballets. And we got a fabulous backstage tour and learned about making the sets and the costumes and just, you know, how the different things are run and how the performances are made to come alive. And they don't use any kind of mechanical things there. It's all like with ropes and pulleys, and they have one little motherboard, but it's not like the theaters in the West that have a lot of automation. No. They still use the techniques or a lot of the things that they did, 100, 200.
Like from another time.
But it is gorgeous. Yeah. It's gorgeous, and it works without fail. And it never closes. That's another thing we learned. They never lock the doors to the Marinsky Theater. There is somebody doing something, working to prepare for a next performance at all times. And they have performances every day. So an opera could be one night, a ballet could be the next night. They have to completely break down those sets, put up the new sets. And I mean, it is some kind of difficult task to keep doing over and over again. So this is a very vibrant place with a deep history. And we got to see all that from backstage, not just from, you know, going to the theater and watching the ballet, which we did the next night. So that made that night even more special, because we kind of knew, oh, now that's how that's working.
Yeah, no kidding. You get the little bit behind the scenes peek.
Yes. And then another very unique thing we did, we got to have dinner with a prima ballerina. She joined us, and it was just beautiful. We went to a very trendy restaurant called Repa, and this was actually right near the Ballet Academy. And she joined us, and she told us all about her life, how she started as a ballerina, how the dream kind of just came to her, and how it evolved. And what it was like to train as a child. And, you know, you had to leave all your friends when you were 8, and then your friends were only ballerinas, and all the things that happened within that group. You know, there were some jealousies and, and how she missed her parents, and, but, you know, how they were so supportive of her. I mean, at a very young age, these children that they're tapped in, they take a completely different road in life. So it was interesting to hear her talk about, what she experienced, and then actually dancing and becoming a dancer, and, you know, what were some of the realistic stresses with it, and what the discipline that you had to do, et cetera, and how you couldn't gain any weight and this kind of thing. And I must say, she was 35 years old. She looked like she was 18. But she told us one of the biggest and most difficult decisions she had to make in her career was to decide whether she wanted to have a child. Because a lot of times when the ballerinas have children, their careers are over.
That's it.
Well, she made the decision to have a child, and she now has 2 children, and she's still a very active performing ballerina. So she was very, very special. And again, she was very open and warm. And I found this about the Russians. You know, they're not right off the bat real talkative or, like, you know, want to make friends, but just let the flow kind of begin. And once it does, oh, they're just such delightful, real people. And I found her to be the same way. At first, she was a little, just, you know, very proper. And but then when we kept asking her, because we were allowed to ask her all kinds of questions, so we asked, and so she would finally, she went into how our feet hurt a lot of this.
Then the truth came out.
Yeah. But it was so wonderful because we got to, just that experience made everything else better. And I guarantee you, everybody on that trip now has an appreciation for ballet, and they will go to ballets, and this was really such an enriching trip, and they would have never focused on ballet. I promise you, any one of those people wouldn't. They strictly went on the trip because they wanted to support the Arts Routes program. They were interested in St. Petersburg, and ballet would be interesting, but it wasn't like, you know, I mean, some of the people on the trip are big theater people. Mm. And one particular lady, she's a major supporter of our symphony. Mm. But ballet, I don't think that's ever been any a genre that she really has followed.
Well, but, and that was kind of the mission, is to sort of say, don't overlook ballet.
Yeah. That it. Let me tell you something. This is a very difficult art form. I mean, when you see how these ballerinas train and what it takes, and then it's a combination of music and set design and dramatics, and it's very difficult. I mean, it's not quite as difficult as opera, but it's getting very close to that. So to see the best ballet in the world is really wonderful. So the dinner with the ballerina was another high point. Then we did one thing that anybody that goes to St. Petersburg really must do, even if you don't like classical culture. There's a tradition in St. Petersburg called the Tchaikovsky Night. And this is a 2.5-hour dinner. It's I think it's 5 or 6-course dinner, where it's in a beautiful restaurant called La Ropa Restaurant. It's a Art Deco restaurant that was designed or created in the, I think it's the mid-1800s. I mean, it's gorgeous. The stained glass, and they have, like, balcony tables. You know, they have balconies where there's tables. It's kind of like box seating with tables. They have the opulence of this room is gorgeous. Well, at the end of the room, there's a stage. And so for 2.5 hours, you eat this fabulous meal, and you watch or you enjoy Tchaikovsky's music. And it's performed, you either hear a pianist do a piano sonata or chamber music or an opera, you know, aria, you know, solo or duets. But then at the end, you have ballet and you have several sets of pas de deux, which are duets, ballet. And it is mesmerizing. You're sitting there eating, and you're watching two ballerinas do a very dramatic scene, you know, say in Swan Lake or something. And it's just, it's really, and I didn't tell the people on the tour. They knew they were going to dinner, and they knew they were going to hear Tchaikovsky music. But I had been to this night once before when I went to St. Petersburg, and I didn't tell them about it, and I guarantee they were just at the end of the evening, they were speechless. Mm. They thought, this is just, I can't believe I just was, you know, I just experienced this. This was so classy and so beautiful. So even if you don't like classical music and you don't like a real dressed up scene, because this is candelabras on the table, I mean, it's really old world swanky, it still is so magical that, you know, even the diehard casual people, they'll go, oh, that was really spectacular.
That was worth getting all gussied up for.
Oh, yeah. It really is, yeah. Because it is.
It sounds phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. That was another touch of ballet that we did. So, you know, I focused on the ballet, like I said, because I knew the Russians have the best ballet in the world. But it also showed what I consider the passion, the discipline, and the excellence that permeates all through Russian culture, whether it's the performing arts or the visual arts or the architecture or the interior design. The Russians have extraordinary talent, and they're disciplined, and they execute. And so that's why you see so many beautiful things, and you experience so many beautiful things there, because the Russians are so artistic. And ballet is a very specialized art form, but they really put it they put their passion and everything in there. And it's even if you don't like ballet, you come back and say, well, I think I better rethink that. that was amazing. Yeah. That was beautiful. Or that touched my heart, you know? I mean, because all the ballets have stories to them. So, you know, you're not just watching somebody, you know, do contortions with their bodies on their toes, you know, but there's a lot more to it. And there's another thing, male ballet dancers explaining, you know, a lot to us about the ballerinas, etc. They said, oh, no, they are all, you know, lots of them have families, etc., and they have to obviously stay in shape and practice a lot and everything, because their main objective, besides doing those fabulous jumps and et cetera, you know, because the Russian males, they have, all the Russian dancers have great legs. I mean, they can do things with their legs that normal people can't. But they have to be strong to not drop the ballerinas, because they have to do a lot of different things with them at angles and contortions and everything. And boy, they're in serious trouble if they drop one. But so the whole life of a male ballerina or a ballet dancer is also interesting. And like I said at the beginning of this program, the Russians, they follow their ballerinas and ballet dancers like we in the West do our movie stars. They know every time one didn't miss the last turn. They were supposed to, you know, turn 36 times, and they only went 35, and they all upset, and they'll, you know, pray for them and everything. No, they're really into it. So, it's really, well, it's just a passion, like I said. And so it even if you don't like ballet and you go there and experience it, you'll get it. It's something special.
Well, just even me listening here, I'm getting excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, really. And I must say, I think that everybody who went, because we focused on ballet, which they never would have focused on, but they learned about it and they saw it executed and they were getting it, they could see how wonderful the rest of Russia was. They could kind of bridge the gap and see why these people built these magnificent cathedrals like they did, and the bravado and the artwork and the mastery of it, so perfect. I mean, they think they saw some beautiful things in France and in Italy. Well, let me tell you something. Russia, it is just exactly up there in a Russian way. It is just, they were blown away, but it is that, like I said, that passion, that just innate ability, artistic ability, and then the real discipline. These people are very disciplined. You know, a lot of people think Russians just sit around and drink vodka. Mm-mm. The ones that are driven and they want to get ahead, whether it's in a business life or the arts world, they're so serious. It's. I mean, you have tremendous respect for them, because they're really serious. So, so the ballet part really, I think, made it magical. I mean, just a plain sightseeing tour would have been really nice, but this made it really good.
It sounds like there's a lot of things that were exclusive to your tour, but then there's also some things you mentioned that anybody who goes to St. Petersburg would be able to enjoy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of the other things. I'm going to go through some of the other things that we did on the tour that I would suggest anybody who goes there should do this. And please try not to go 1 or 2 days, because if you do that, you'll see Church on the Spilled Blood. You know, you'll go to the Hermitage for an hour, which is ridiculous. This museum is on the level of the Louvre. Yeah, I mean, really, it takes you several weeks to be able to see all of the different collections. But they have several built. The Russians own so much art. It's just unbelievable.
Listeners, we're going to leave it right there for this week. We hope you enjoyed your healthy dose of the arts and ballet in St. Petersburg. We're going to continue Astrid's journey next week with all of the sights and sounds and things to experience in St. Petersburg next week when we finish the Art Roots St. Petersburg wrap-up. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to seeing you next week on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.